Kyle, what a stellar show this week.
Stellar.
What, like, really, I really thought, like, midway through, I was like, oh my God, we're nailing it.
I didn't think that we were only, I thought we were going long.
Right?
But it was only like an hour and 28 or something like that.
I honestly think this was our best show yet.
We keep saying that every week.
But like, this time I'm really meaning it.
At some point, we're going to come on. I was like, yeah, it was really shit.
Can you guys tell us it was good? Yeah, no, that was a fantastic. We got through all the topics with such ease, such grace. It's like we've been doing this for how many years now? Like three
or something.
Isn't that crazy? Oh, God, I hit the mic. Uh-oh. Fuck that all. Isn't that crazy how far we've come when you think about it? Because you literally said 5 minutes ago, I'm unlistenable. I was unlistenable. And yeah, how far you've come.
Yeah. 100, not even just like quality wise, because I was using a snowball and it's wild how far we've come, mm-hmm. how far I've come, how far like you've come. It's just bad joke incoming. Uh-oh. We're long coming everywhere. Like it just,
oh, geez, not on the post show. Sorry.
Good time.
But no, seriously, like your growth has been phenomenal to watch. Cause like Thank you. Comes in, they're just like, the way you guys roll off each other is something to behold. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when I think of it too, I'm like, yeah, man, like we've come, our chemistry is now top notch. Like, I don't think there's anyone that comes close to us with our chemistry. Nah. You know, my arm almost broke. This is when you're usually talking. You reply yes.
Oh, sorry. I honestly, a lot of energy went into that main show.
Yeah.
And now I am fading fast.
I like Kyle. I'm like, you know, the energy of the
yeah.
You know, everything we have, right? And you're just like.
Yeah. I was half listening because I zoned out. I'm sorry.
How dare you?
Sorry.
How dare you give it up any compliments or something?
Can I tell you what I'm excited about this week?
Go for it.
Critical Role is back tomorrow night.
Ooh.
Brand new campaign. Joe, it's perfect time. True. Perfect time to hop on and start watching or listening. It's also a podcast.
I have a lot of time in the mornings.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that's the time.
I want to talk about it.
Okay.
Well, brand new characters, brand new setting. You should watch the behind the scenes of their new playing room, like where they're playing. It is so freaking cool. Everything's wood, like dark wood with like big heavy beams behind them. And from what they were talking about, they have LCD screens behind them. So Matt, the DM, will be able to change the LCD screens to make it look like they are in whatever environment that they are currently in the game. I am so excited.
That actually sounds pretty damn dope.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'll check
it's like
out.
The fandom, but for D&D and everything is monsters behind them. It's kind of what I want out of a VR D&D game.
Yeah.
Where like you put the VR headset on and you are in this magical world and fighting these creatures as your characters. I think that'd be so cool.
Kyle, I told you I didn't have a good day today.
Same.
Can I tell you my week?
Yeah.
All right, guys, I had a breakdown towards the child.
Yes, you did.
But it was like right, like Kyle, you've never seen me this mad. A handful of people have ever seen me go like full on Thanos, purple angry.
Same with me though. I can get real mad. I don't show that to people very often.
And this one kid said something, I'll just say, incredibly racist
towards another. Incredibly, from what you've told me.
Incredibly. Like, think of the most racist thing you have ever heard, and then times that by 10, and then go, a 14-year-old child said that to another child.
Yep.
And Joseph was not having it one bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph blacked out midway through his yelling. So I could have cursed at this kid. I really don't know. But it's not like he didn't have it coming. He definitely did. He got suspended, I think.
Good. So,
But like that was a fun, it literally ruined my day because I was like, how far have we come society wise that like that kid thought that was good to say? And like as a 14-year-old child, you know me, I've said this on the show, I was a piece of shit kid when I was like 14, 15. Never mm-hmm. in my life would I think saying something that awful
yeah.
is okay.
And you got to think like,
wild.
Has to have been learned somewhere.
Yeah.
Cause like
at the home, like when you're saying like, Joe, how racist is it? Is it like the N word? I'd be like, but like somehow was even topped. Like what I'm telling you, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
And I already think that word's disgusting.
Uh huh.
It was like a poop sandwich. It was gross. And I yelled at that kid and then like his three buddies. And I was like, you go to VP right now. And I swear to God, if you don't go, you wish you'd had detention. You'd wish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Joe wasn't happy. So that ruined my day there.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple
was
of
that
like,
Monday? Was that Monday?
Yeah, that was the way I started my week. And then like I had some two really rough days at work after that. And today, I'm sorry, one really rough day after that. And then today I had to go to the dentist and honestly, I have not been in a while, like 4+ years. It's been bad.
Same though. It's expensive.
It's expensive as all hell. And what I learned was I have some sensitivity in my teeth and I thought, okay, I have a cavity. Turns out I have like 9 little cavities.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Mm-hmm.
And to make matters worse, I have 2 that are really bad. And this one I should have gotten checked ASAP, but it just always got ahead of me. You always just forget about it because, oh, like I chipped a tooth, but it doesn't hurt me now. So you just kind of forget about it type of thing.
Me.
Yeah.
PAX last year, I chipped a molar or a filling fell out.
Yeah.
And I've been walking around since then with a giant hole in my molar.
Fix
for
that
the
pronto,
longest for the longest time. I only chewed on the left side of my mouth. And now I'm like, I don't care. It's too far gone now.
No, you got to.
They were going to, not to derail your dentist thing, but like I went last May or whatever, or right before everything shut down. And they were like, oh, that's going to be like $6,000. Because in addition to that tooth, you also have a bunch of little cavities all over your mouth. Yeah. I'm like, oh boy, I have $35 in my account.
How's
and
this
that's
much?
Not happening.
Yeah. No, same here. So like to me, I'm like, oh shit, got little ones. Luckily, my insurance does cover dental. I just don't know how far it goes.
That's good.
But on the other end of that spectrum, I have to not just have one, but 2 root canals, which are not fun, but I feel like people over exaggerate the pain because I've already had one done.
I've never had one.
That's why I'm telling you, get that molar checked out because you don't want to do what I just did. Because holy shit, 2 of them right next to each other. It looks like with cavities, like one could affect the other type of deal. And that's what's
gotcha. Happened.
Yeah. So yeah, they have to, I have to get 2 things done. I literally asked her because I felt like dumb idiot. First off, like I brush my teeth, I feel like I have decent hygiene, it could be better, but like I was just like, how bad is this? And she's like, honestly, it's not like terrible. I mean, it's not good, but for like 4 years that you haven't gone, it's you're again, could be better, but it's not the worst thing ever. I'm like, okay, cool. Again, these 2 things in the back, that's a lot of money. And so I'm kind of freaking out about that cost. But to me, it just sucks because I got paid literally, gang, this is just between us, $12,000 of my student loans last year. But just saving up and, saving up my nickels and dimes and all that. And I was able to pay a good chunk. And then I was just like, and Joe, because you were a dumb idiot, you have at least 4 to 6 to now look forward to.
God damn it.
And it really just kicked me back into like, you got to keep better shape of yourself. Luckily, I've been losing weight. It's just not at the speed that I would like. Mm-hmm. But honestly, given the amount of stress I've been under, I'm surprised I haven't gained any weight. So I'm keeping the losses at going, you know what?
Yeah.
A pound a
that's
week.
That's a positive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, that is. That's great.
So to me, I'm now just like, you know what, Joe? January can't wait. I got to find something quick and immediate right now in terms of job wise, because this 6. So that's what I've been like in my feels about. But hopefully January comes and it's not terrible awful, because that's when student loans really kick into overdrive. So, you know.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great.
So, yeah. But you know what? I have been talking to like the principal and the VP, because I work in a school for anybody who don't know. And they're like really nice. They've really humanized themselves to me. And so I'm really hoping next few months rolls around, they think of me with this promotion. They said they would.
Yeah.
They said, like, it's not like, oh, we'll think about it. It's like, no, you'll get it. You just have to stay here. And I'm like, okay, but like, how much is that though?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, are we talking like you're throwing me through shekels, or like what is also maybe shekels are really important, but.
Because I had that same sort of conversation today when I forced myself to go sub. Because everyone was like, oh, Kyle, it's so good to see you. Where you been? And I had to look at them and go, I am so burnt out from teaching. I mean, subbing for the same district for 10 years.
Yeah.
And constantly getting overlooked. The one time I got an interview, it was a 15, 20 minute interview. And half of that time, the principal was on the phone talking to somebody else while I was in the room. Like, obviously you don't take my time seriously. You don't take me seriously as a candidate. What's going on here? Why am I here? Why am I doing this thing? Why am I sacrificing my mental health for this? And like, it just, and I had a long talk with the teacher at the end of the day, cause they've changed how dismissal works. Like, everyone stays in the room because of the global condition or COVID. We're in Patreon, whatever, COVID. Where the kids stay in the room and then they call buses down individually, because how that building used to do it, everyone would come down the stairs and hang out in the hallways. And so like every bus gets called down individually kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her and I was like, I chose my health over working. That's why I was home during the pandemic for the most part. Two, during that time, really took a hard look at my career choice and was like, man, I don't like doing it anymore. And I need to find something steady that I don't have to worry about bringing home with me.
Yes.
Like, that's such a huge thing for my mental health. And I think that's a big reason why I haven't like applied to permanent jobs elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Cause I know the commute is going to be hella long.
Sure.
And that's going to cut down into my me time, which is so precious to me. And B, taking all that home with me. Mm. Like, teachers, I don't think get enough credit, and they get some credit, but not enough with how much they do at home and how much like out of pocket that they spend on their own students, because the district is too cheap and refuses to fork out the money. So these teachers don't have to do something. And she was like, I get it. I totally understand where you're coming from. I 100% get it. So like, it's just, man. And like, not to mention how the sub day started today, which were like, I walked in, they put me in a fourth grade classroom. I was like, okay, cool. I've been in this room for this teacher before, new kids, obviously, but like, I know how she operates. I can do her lesson plans. No problem. So that put me at ease, cause I was having a panic attack going into school this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for the next door fourth grade teacher to give me plans, cause she didn't leave any. And which is a messed up thing to do, by the way, teachers out there, leave plans for your subs, please. I get a call over the loudspeaker, go, Kyle, can you come down to the main office? I go all the way down. And as I'm walking into the office, a younger sub who must have just graduated college comes by. It's like, oh, do you have Mrs. So-and-so's keys? I go, yeah. And she just takes them out of my hands. And I go, okay. And I walk in the office and the secretary goes, we're switching you over to gym. I go, what? Huh? I was already set in the fourth grade room.
Yeah.
And she was just like, sorry, we got to do what you got to do. And in my head, I'm like, why couldn't she just go to do gym?
Yeah.
Why are you pulling me out of a room? Like, I was like, I'm nothing to them. I am the meathead who can just go and do all the dirty work, I assume, like, and not like not be trusted enough to be in a classroom anymore or some bullshit that I'm telling myself. Like, it just, it soured my whole day. Like, and then we had the mudslide incident.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had the mudslide incident, and it was just, you know, comedy of errors.
And that is a child poop their pants in gym class.
Yeah, poop their pants in gym class all over the floor. Good time.
That's hilarious. I'm sorry. It's really funny. My brother's had to deal with like similar things because like there's a kid he looks at like during after school he helps run their stuff, and like there's one kid like he's like 9 and hasn't been like potty trained, and so it's like how do you coach a kid how to make a doo-doo in a toilet? That's
it. Yeah, go ahead.
You want to hear a funny as hell joke my brother told me? This yeah. actually happened to him because he's just started subbing as well, Kyle, and he's had an event. One day he's teaching he's just like a class of just like two kids, like it's a smaller class but it's literally only two kids, and like while he's teaching them, one kid, and they're brothers by the way, I believe.
Okay.
So one brother just turns to him, and we're just gonna call him Keith, right?
Sure.
He turns over to his buddy Keith. He's like, "Hey, Keith, wanna moan?" And Keith goes, "Yeah." And they just start doing hoo. My brother is. He's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa."
Oh my god.
And I pictured it like some type of Dumb and Dumber skit. Like where they're in the van and my brother's in the middle.
I'm picturing them, they're on the opposite side of the classroom too.
Yeah.
They're completely on opposite sides of each other. And they're going, "Huh."
I died. I'm like, that is a story you need to carry with you for the rest of your life. Hey, Keith, what a moan. You know they found their father's laptop.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That one USB they shouldn't have found. All right. Here's a question from Hide Indoors. What up, Gavin?
What up?
With Joe starting a new job this year, Kyle killing it in the interviews. Let's take a trip back. What was your worst job you guys ever had? Got it. Toys R Us sucks. Don't work at Toys R Us. Uh-huh. It's a garbage institution.
Well, it's not a thing anymore here in the States.
No, it's trying to come back. Snuff it out. Awful. Awful. I remember roughly when my grandpa was passing, and the guy did not care that like I had to go to his funeral. And he's like, "Well, how am I going to replace your hours?" Literally, manager, Toys R Us, don't support them. Fuck them.
Awful. Awful.
Yeah, that sucked. That was a fun time. I was very emotionally vulnerable, and maybe I shouldn't have started a job while my grandpa was entering his twilight. Maybe I should have. Maybe said, "You know what? No, thanks."
I mean,
here I am.
He should have been way more.
No, he was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I already know. Manager Mike, go fuck yourself, Manager Mike.
Worst job. That's the thing with me. If I have a job, I do it for a very long time until I move into something else. And so like, I don't know if many people know this or if I've ever said it on the post show. I started working on my 13th birthday.
Ooh.
I was a groundskeeper at the town park where you would have to like line the baseball fields. Yeah.
You told me this.
Yeah. Mow the grass, make sure the dirt is all with no stones in it and smooth, and put bases in and clean bathrooms and all that. I did that for 8 years, up until the point where I was like, I want to work at summer camp in the same town. And I just transitioned into there, got a huge pay cut. Huge.
Oh, really?
Like, I was so angry at them. I should have known then that they would just, you know, fuck me over at every turn. Uh-huh. I went from 14 an hour or something, because I was the head groundskeeper. I was the only one there.
Ooh, okay.
To all the way down to $7.50 at summer camp. They couldn't bump me up because of the park, whatever. And then I was at camp for 13 years or 13 summers, including vacation camps. Then I subbed immediately after graduating, 2009 up until now. So that's a very long time. And in the years of subbing, worked at an after school place as a homework teacher for a few years, did a mentoring thing for a few years, and then GameStop, which might be the worst job I've had just because it's retail.
Yeah, retail
sucks. Like that's the one thing I can look up. Like, man,
anybody working retail right now, listen to this.
I feel so bad for you. I know. It's bad, especially during the season that's coming up soon.
Awful.
Man. But like Captain says, like killing in the interview this week, I'm shocked with how this one on Monday went. So if anyone doesn't know, I made it to the second round of interviews. So I go in and meet the doctor. It's for a administrative assistant, basically the front desk person for an orthodontist office. Mm-hmm. And I go in there. I was very calm. I wasn't as nervous. My heart rate would tell you differently, but like my brain was not like beating myself up, or at least I thought. And then they were asking me those questions of like, what's the hardest thing you've ever overcome? And then I'm like, oh no, the pressure's getting to me. Oh, the pandemic really messed me up. I got real depressed and I started to cry. I started to get emotional and was choking up during the interview. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, it's okay. And they tried to make me feel great and feel better, which is amazing. Finished the interview, did like a test phone call, like reading from the script, like if a new patient is calling. And I thought I did pretty well with that. They seemed to think I did very well. It didn't sound like I read from a script, which was great. I said, thank you. I left. The moment I turned my face away from the woman who I've been talking to about coming in, whatever, instant sobbing tears. I'm like, my one chance after applying to over 80 jobs in the past 3 weeks, the one place that had given me a chance with no prior experience, I fucked it up. I thought that was an awful interview. And the whole ride home, I was crafting a text in my head to text this lady of, you know, I'm so sorry. The pressure got to me. 2020 and 21 have been real bad for me and for many people.
Why the fuck would you ask me a question like that?
And it just got to me. I'm sorry. Yeah. I appreciate you taking a chance with me, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And the moment I got home, before I parked my car, I took my phone out, ready to send that text, still sobbing. She texts me and says, I want to reassure you that you getting choked up during your interview has no consequence on how you did and all that stuff. In fact, we love you and want to advance you to the next round of like in the interview process. And then I sobbed even harder for a different reason. And I really, really like this place. And I have another interview at a different place maybe next week.
Nice.
For custom apparel shop.
All right.
Tell
me you wore a jacket once to change your life.
Yeah. I made shirts once on TeePublic. I know, or what, Teespring. this office is very much about they hire the person, not the work history, and they have core values and they look for that in people and not what they've already done. And I'm very appreciative of them, even if I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so happy they took a chance on me, you know, because I need to get out of this teaching somehow and no one else wants me.
Yeah.
So come on.
Dude, that's awesome. And I bet they saw your heart, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I remember.
Because I got a big one, both in the good and bad ways.
Likewise, brother. Likewise. Because like I was telling you, because they're like, you know, because I remember when we were talking, I was like, good luck. And you mentioned like they're a female staff, and the one thing that they don't want is like,
yeah, I'm the only, I would be the only male employee in the office. They used to have one from what I've heard. And he was very much like, oh no, you're doing it wrong. Mansplaining and whatnot.
And so I was just like, dude, just talk about the girls. Like,
and that doesn't help because that also gets me emotional. Because back in the day, like when they were first born, some teachers and principals were like, hey, why don't you go apply in other districts and subs so you can get more work. Like, but like the girls need me.
Yeah.
I can't be away from them. Now they're older. I can whatever they can say. I feel less rooted here and obligated. Even though it'd be devastating, but like back then I'm like, I need to be here for them. I can't go work upstate. I can't do it.
Yeah. Cause cause people tell me I'm very charismatic. Yeah. And like, I get emotional sometimes. It's just always trying to hold that emotion. I'm pretty good at, like, for the most part, pushing it down when I need to.
Once the lip starts quivering, it's over.
Yeah. Like, if it's talk about my grandpa, I can make a pregnant pause, clear the throat, and then move on. And when people see that, they're like, oh, he has feelings. And I'm like, and I'm really wounded right now, but I'm not showing it. And that's, you know, that's a ticket in, you know, showing them that you're a person, not a robot. That's really important.
More places should be like that. Just saying. Yeah.
I remember the first interview I had at one of the PR places that took me was literally us talking about vacation Italy and like,
oh nice,
and like sleeping. I forget what it was, like being jealous of people that can sleep like 8 hours
a
day, you know, that type of stuff. And it's just having that personal element. So he's always important. Like with the cover letter that I wrote, you know, like this one place, I was just like, well, I have no like work history in terms of like PR instead of just like the internships and all that. That focus in healthcare and community relations is what they were hiring for. So I was just like, I talked about what I do here is like, and what we've done in building this community and talking about all the cool stuff that we've done, the charities that we've raised, and how do I squeeze that into a paragraph or more. And when I read it, I was like, well, goddamn, you know what? If I don't get it, it's a fault on them, because this is a
good
cover letter I wrote in 15 minutes.
That's how I felt with the town job that I thought I was a shoo-in for.
Yeah.
Again, working for the town for 21 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, since 13, I'm 34 now. Yeah, 21 years. I thought I was at least a shoo-in for an interview. And the fact that I didn't even get an interview, that destroyed me. Yeah. On top of that, for this job, they're like, hey, send us some references. I was like, okay, fine. Reach out to my supervisor, who's been my supervisor at camp for years. And she goes, oh, the town policy is we can't give a professional reference. We can only do a personal one. And just say that you've been employed here. I go, excuse me, what? That's most of my work history. What are you talking about? You can't talk about my whatever. I put her down anyway. It's her problem.
Take that, Janice.
It's her problem.
Okay. Awesome. Dave writes in. This is a long after show, but I love it. Post show question that just plopped in my head. What's the dumbest thing you've accidentally done that led to an embarrassing injury? I'll go first. I whacked my head on a door frame last night. It gave myself a concussion. Jesus Christ, awesome, Dave. All right. Not my proudest moment. And I know my wife will never let me live this down. Dumbest injury I've ever
had. I have so many.
Oh, I mean, I have the most embarrassing. I mean, I've told this, but I'll say it again. The most embarrassing injury I ever had was twisting my ankle in the Willie P parking garage because it has awful lighting. I didn't see what I stepped ahead of me. And so I rolled my ankle in a lot of pain. I hear this voice. It's a female. She's comes out of the shadows, not trying to murder me. Could have very easily succeeded. They're like a perfect scenario, you know? Me trying to run, like dangling my keys. But then it turns out like she is literally the woman of my dreams. Like she's cute. She's nerdy. Oh. She's got curly hair, glasses. She hella cute. She's like, oh, sir, I'm so sorry. Can I help you walk to your car? And like we're walking to the car and like I'm limping, of course. She's helping me as best she can. And she's like, oh, I love your, like, I think it was like a Star Wars bumper sticker. It's like, oh, I love your Star Wars bumper sticker. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And then she saw my Bernie Sanders. I felt the burn back then. Bumper sticker. She's like, oh, man, awesome fucking Bernie bumper sticker. Feel the burn. I'm like, oh, my God, you're perfect. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, are you on the Bernie bus with me? This is amazing. Oh, my God, let's hold hands. And then I was like, thank you. And I got in my car. I was like, fuck, I didn't ask for a number. God damn it. Embarrassing. Churlish, but I could have. I know me. I could talk. I could work up something. Be like, let me thank you. A Starbuck, a coffee, a fine Italian restaurant. We go on a date. It's successful. I ask to kiss her. I move in 50. She moves in 50. Things get hot and serious with date two. We make it official on date three. I introduce her to our friends, my family. We get to know each other. We have our first fight. We take a break, but we learn to overcome those differences and we heal together. And then I go off to war and she worries about me. But on a tour, I make it back because I sprained my ankle there too.
And before you know it,
this happens.
Exactly.
Baby's crying. I'm here.
Yeah,
that's right. And then she buries me because I die. And my kid becomes father.
Embarrassing injuries for me.
Oh, right, right. I'm sorry. I talked about a potential future.
I have a heart attack. Funnily enough. Funnily enough, I also injured my ankle in we were at homecoming. I've said this before. It was starting to rain. Mom was like, hey, can you go to the car and get an umbrella? And it was dark out. I go to get the umbrella on the way back in the wooded area next to the bleachers. There's a big divot in the ground that you can't see because it wasn't lit properly. It made the grass slippery. So I slipped in the hole, sprained my ankle real bad. Uh-huh. Get up to the bleachers and go, and mom, I hurt my ankle real bad. Take a look. And it's swollen real bad. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, you're fine. We're staying for the game. Just sit, relax. You're fine. Take some Advil. That's my parents' big thing. Take some Advil.
Your mom did not win an award that night.
she thinks that it was my fault to begin with. So like, okay. Whatever. I was like, I'm getting you an umbrella, mom. It to this like day, one day we joke about it.
Fight your mother.
No, my mom's amazing.
All right.
I looked down at some point and it swelled over my sneaker. That's how bad it was. And my friend was like,
she's like, put some Aleve on it. Windex. Yeah,
exactly. Some VapoRub, some Vicks. Mm-hmm. Game ends, and my friend was like, hey, can you guys drive my sister home? Mm. And I look at him, go, do you see my ankle? I need to go to a hospital. And he goes, sorry. And then he leaves his sister with us. We have to drop his sister off. Then I had to drop my sister and my mom off at home. And then I finally went to the hospital and got my, what are those things called? Crutches.
Yeah.
Another one in college. I jumped off the side of the building into an 8-foot snowbank.
Oh my God.
I came real close to really messing myself up. I was about 2 feet away from the dumpster. And I could have broken my neck and back, but I landed on an old mattress, real dumb. Ooh. Sprained my back real bad.
Yeah.
What else happened? There's so many. Oh, field day subbing 1 year. I was in charge of the tug of war station, or I helped out of the tug of war station at the end, and I was holding the middle of the rope. And the first time I had my foot on it, I was like, okay, went on my mark. And they didn't wait for me to move. So they pulled up on the rope and I'm standing on the middle.
Oh no.
So they raised the rope and I got off balance and I tumbled backwards, ass over head, like three times. And I just lay there laughing. I was like, oh God, that's big man rolling. That's probably a funny sight to everyone. And the teachers come running over. It's like, are you okay? And I'm just laughing like, that's impressive. find out. Yeah, I hurt my back there too. That was real bad. I was out for a while.
Oof.
Me, I'm not the most coordinated person in the world.
Same, likewise. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. God, what's the one girl from House of Bly Manor? She's also in
You. I haven't seen that one yet.
Or Victoria something. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my whole entire life. She's a great actress. I turned because my friend has a massive crush on her. She's like, this is my wife. I'm like, okay. Calm down, crazy. She don't know you. Anyway.
Oh, Kyle. Victoria Pedretti?
Yes.
Oh, she was also in Hill House. She was Nell.
Yeah, no, there you go.
Yeah, she's great.
Neck lady. God, Kyle, you've been going through
Hill House. Is, oh, that was good.
How did that not leave you fucking depressed? depressed.
I did.
I was depressed for 2 weeks. I was like, oh my God, my friend's like, I'm so depressed. I'm watching it again. I'm like, why?
And spoiler, I think they're all dead at the end. I don't think that's a real thing.
You don't think it's a real thing? I think it's a real thing.
No. The reason why I say it is because there's red in that scene. Just like the door of that room is red. I think they died in that room.
You think they all did?
Spoiler alert. I'm sorry. Spoilers. It's been out for a while. My bad.
It's been out for like 3+ years. Also, yeah. I don't think that at all.
Oh, okay. That's
fair. I think some of them are gone and some of them live.
Okay. That's fair.
And that ending, very up to your own interpretation.
You have a crush on Nell. Mm-hmm. I have a crush on... her name is Kate Siegel, her real name. The one with the gloves in Hill House.
Oh, duh. I mean,
yeah, but like,
I'm a man that breathes. My best friend, she also has a huge, Amy. Why do I always say best friend?
You always do that. I know Amy.
You're right. Amy has a huge crush on her. And she's like, she texts me jealous literally last night. She's like, look at her average ass husband. You believe And you're right, like, she's like a smoking 10. This guy is like,
he's the like director of Hill House and Bly Manor and everything.
Oh, is he really? Okay,
well, he's the writer and director of Midnight Mass. He directed and wrote Dr. Sleep, the movie.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I need to watch Dr. Sleep because I
I just rectified a huge shame of my movie and horror backlog. I watched The Shining for the first time.
What the shit?
Yeah, dude.
Isn't it amazing?
It's pretty good. It's what not my favorite.
What the?
Sorry.
What?
Listen, you're trying to tell me that Jack Nicholson's character wasn't crazy the whole time, even before?
I think there was a screw loose. Yeah, but
like I think it would have worked better. And from what I've researched after I watched the movie, because that's what I do.
Yeah.
In the book, he goes more mad. Like, he's a normal human being for the most part, just trying to do the right thing by his family. Mm-hmm. Not once did I think he wanted to do anything right by his family in that movie. So I always thought he was deranged a little bit.
Yeah. I think he's more selfish in the
movie. There is some fantastic imagery.
Oh my God.
So good. Haunting, chilling.
So good.
I thoroughly enjoyed The Shining, but I thought Dr. Sleep was so much better.
Really?
I watched it back to back. And talking about like beautiful women.
Yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson.
Let me see this. Rebecca.
Mission Impossible. 5, 6. She is the top hat lady in Dr. Sleep. Oh my goodness.
Oh, she's
pretty. I can stare in her eyes forever. Yeah, Dr. Sleep's real good. Talk about cool imagery. Yes.
Yeah, see,
very cool.
The monologue on the stairs, the bat, like, Jesus.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Her, oh, God, I forget the actress's name, but, like, dude, her acting is literally just...
She's fantastic, except for the end, when she's running through, and she's...
All right.
I hated it.
Arm flailing.
I get what she was going for, yeah. But she's also holding a knife, and she's, like, flailing the knife around.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Wendy, stop.
Wendy, darling, light of my life?
Yeah, no. Everything, performance-wise, fantastic. Absolutely. Just wasn't as scary as what I built it up to be in my head.
No, see, I like suspense. I don't like scare, like the scares. I like a good suspense that slowly builds. I don't like the gore porn. I don't like Saw.
I love Saw.
Like Midsommar is like, honestly, also one of like a perfect movie.
Oh my God.
Scary as shit. But like in this weird way. And then like when the gore is there, it's visceral, but it's not in your face.
Oh my God. What the older guy and woman did.
Botched it. That's a botched toe.
My God.
It's a botched job.
Yeah, I've been trying to watch more horror stuff this month.
More will than me, sir.
I'm going to cross off another one, I think, maybe tonight.
What's that?
We talked about this briefly. I've never seen Alien.
Oh my
God. So I need to cross that and Aliens off. Yeah, man. I've seen clips.
What the fuck? Oh, listen, it doesn't do it justice, Kyle.
I know. I have the quadrilogy on Blu-ray up there. I just haven't watched them. I'm going to make that a thing before the month is over.
So good.
I don't need to watch 3 and 4, though, right? They're not that great.
3 is all right. Okay, so spoiler alert. I'm spoiling things. Yell at me about it. The alien comes out of a dog. And because of that, precisely, I cannot watch that movie.
That's fair.
But in like the director's cut, it comes out of a bull that I can more tolerate. And think of the director's cut, it acts more bullish as well. And then like Alien 4 is like, let me get it. Wait 1 second.
Somebody like other than Ridley Scott directed that one, right?
Alien 4, this is Young Man Joe. Young Man Joe here loves Alien Resurrection. I'm going to tell you why. Sigourney Weaver and Winona Ryder had a lot of lesbian sexual tension.
Oh, okay.
10-year-old Joe was all about that. Winona Ryder. Oh, my goodness. God. Love of my life.
There that's well. What it is. Alien 3 was directed by David Fincher.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, interesting.
But Alien 1 is just I know. Aliens 2 is also good. Fuck, it's so good. Oh, my God, Kyle.
I know. I'm crossing them off. Have you
seen a Predator?
Oh yeah, I've seen the okay. I've seen Predators.
Cool.
Another one is like the Alfred Hitchcock stuff. I recently just got the Steelbooks. Oh god, those Steelbooks are so good.
Yeah. I watched Psycho. I was like,
Psycho's I need to watch. A Rear Window, I want to watch. Yeah. But I'm also with you. I like a good suspense kind of thing.
Yeah. Suspense it builds, man.
There was a movie on Netflix I watched. I know that we're going long. I'm sorry. You're getting a whole other podcast here in the state of the room. On Netflix, it starred Amy Adams, Anthony Mackie, Julianne Moore.
Oh, Julianne Moore. Also love my life.
Like, great actors, right? I think it's called The Woman in the Window. I was like, oh, is this kind of like a Disturbia kind of Rear Window thing?
That's an inside joke from high school.
You do the Rihanna Disturbia?
Yeah, because Disturbia, like the song came out like either right after or right before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And one of our friends always, when talking about Disturbia, would go, Disturbia! Or like when relating to the movie and when relating to the song, they're like, yeah, so Disturbia is like a really good. Like,
I gotcha. It's basically a woman who lost her husband and a child who is agoraphobic and won't go outside, but she sees her neighbors across the street. It looks like the husband killed his wife, and she calls the cops, and it's this whole thing. Huh. Thought was super suspenseful from the sound of it in the trailer. I was like, oh, this looks cool. I love the cast, whatever. Awful. I hated it. It was, and I don't say that about a lot of things. Very much dislike that movie. It's a bummer.
Very interesting.
Disturbia.
That's the title of this episode.
Sorry we went long, patrons.
What do you mean sorry? They're like, holy shit, best dollar spent. This is amazing. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. In 2 weeks, we're going to announce a refresh. It's going to be really cool. Ew. Some exciting things planned. But listen, that's for another episode. This has been the State of the Room, which is strong. Everybody, give your words of magic. Keep hunting. Keep playing PlayStation. We love y'all. See ya.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, God damn it.